It is Locked On Jazz for the, what is it? Oh, I can look on my watch. The 29th of November. It's a Monday when we're back at it and wondering, oh gosh, what's going on? Our bodies are like, where's vacation? But we're 20 games into the
and we'll be able to look at where the Utah Jazz are, what it means, where the NBA is, and where the West is, unless I don't have any idea. And that's a possibility. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen every single day. And feel free to subscribe and push the button on YouTube if you're listening there. Join in the chat room. Good morning and hello to the live audience, Jeremy and Josh and Robert and Landon and Johnny and Garrett. Pray love and TJ and Ray and Johnny. Great to see everybody. Tough morning, isn't it? Woo! Sorry if there was a false start there this morning. I hope it didn't screw anyone up. I usually there's a bunch of graphics that tell me I'm live and things like that, and they don't exist right now on the show. So I don't know why that they've disappeared, but we'll see if we can get them all back up. The ones that come from Restream. So anyway, we're 20 games into the NBA season. This is the moment really where we should have a really good feel for who we are as a team, where we fit in the West, which I do think we know, and everything else. And honestly, I don't know if I really know. I mean, in a sense, I know, but on the micro kind of breakdown level, I'm a little confused. So I get ready for the Blazers game tonight, and I'm doing my prep, and I'll be honest, I feel fairly lukewarm about how we are. Like, we weren't very good against Oklahoma City. We weren't great against Memphis. We weren't great against New Orleans. And then I write down, well, we've won 5 of 7. And if it weren't for two mysterious reviews, we would have won 7 in a row. And neither of them were actually bad, but they were both unnecessary and both of them cost us games. We'd have won 7 in a row. So you're dealing with a little bit of like the emotional roller coaster of losing games. But at the same time, when calling games and watching us right now, I think we'd all agree. We don't look quite right. We don't feel like we want to. Maybe we have a demented viewpoint of memory of what we once were. Okay, that's possible, that we think we were perfect at every minute last year, which it felt like. And then I do my prep, and we're the number one rated offensive team, and we're the number 5 rated defensive team. All right, well, so, like, I don't actually care who you've played. If you're top 5 in both, that's incredible. And that's everything that a championship contender is supposed to be. But then I go over and I check threes and dunks, Taylor Schnarr's site. And, you know, our net rating is the 2nd best. But if you adjust our defensive rating to our strength of schedule, since we haven't played good offensive teams, then we're 10th. And so you're like, okay, that feels a little bit more right. And our offense is 1, and it's not nearly as dominant as everyone else's is. It's a little closer to Portland and a little closer to Atlanta and a little closer to the Warriors, all within a point. And so that begins to feel a little bit more right. And our strength of schedule at this point overall is now 27th, and our strength of schedule offensively is 28th out of 30. So you're like, okay, like that's a little bit of what I'm feeling. So you begin to dig in. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I look at Memphis, Oklahoma City, New Orleans in those first 3 games. And my feeling is, okay, we didn't look great, but quite honestly, I'm not trying to put him on it, but he's our best player. You know, if Kevin Durant doesn't play well for Brooklyn, if Steph Curry doesn't play well for the Warriors, Donovan didn't play well in those games. If Donovan has his normal night against Memphis, we're up 10 the entire time. If he has his normal night against Oklahoma City, we're up 10 the entire time. And if he has his normal night against New Orleans, we win as well. And probably they wilt a little bit because they didn't have a track record of winning games and they don't gain that momentum that they had against us. And so then you've won seven in a row and Donovan's playing well. And Donovan's allowed to have bad nights, and he happened to have three in a row. And frankly, our team, despite Donovan's usage rate, is really built on depth more than the Warriors or Brooklyn, because frankly, Donovan's not Steph Curry and he's not Kevin Durant. So we shouldn't be as dependent on it, but we clearly were. And so over a three-game stretch, when your best player takes 20 shots a night and shoots below 30% and below 25% from three, you're not very good. Like, okay, like, of course. So I just feel like I'm in this endless circle 20 games into the season trying to figure out who we are and where we are. And I don't have an answer. I think most of you probably feel, well, we all spend a lot of time together, so we probably feel similarly. Like, it feels like, okay, we're good. We showed sign in the second, you know, New Orleans, who's not good, and they got their one win, and then we blew them out. It's like, yeah. Like, that felt great. We played super. We pinged the ball around. We hit a ton of threes. They missed 20 straight. Like, that was the ultimate make-miss game that exists. So it's just a funky little element to things. I think there's an element as well in which where Donovan or Mike Conley actually said it pretty well the other day when Mike Conley said, you know, we just weren't having any fun. And I thought that might actually be a little bit of what he's talking about. Like, there are some interest, like, I thought that was kind of an interesting way to say it, because the fact is, it doesn't necessarily feel like they're having a great deal of fun. And that, to me, maybe comes across a little bit in how we were watching them. Now, finally, you see, you know, Bogey with a dropping that ball for Donovan on the alley-oop on the fast break. And like that's fun. You know, that's them having a super good time. And that's probably what we need to see a little bit. The other one that's in here is, and trying to compare it, and you look at the Warriors, frankly, and they've played the 28th strength of schedule. And you look at the Suns, who can't lose, and they've played the 29th strength of schedule. And we've played the 27th strength of schedule. There's a little bit of a game here. Other than the Lakers, who've played the easiest schedule in the league and are just 11-11 because they're not very good, of, you know, the schedule, we're good enough to take advantage of the schedules given us. And maybe a little bit of what we feel is we don't have a win yet. So against home court advantage teams 20 games into the season, we're 0-2. Against top six teams in each conference, we're 1-3 with our only win being over a depleted Milwaukee team that didn't have any players. Okay? Like, you know, they were missing four or five starters. So we actually don't have the night yet where we came out against a really good team and said, here we are. Now, tonight's a chance. Portland's pretty good. They're 10-10. They're the exact same team they were last year with a new head coach. And so, you know, maybe they aren't, if they don't fit that qualification of top four or top six, but at least it's something. The Warriors are 2-0 in top home court games, 3-0 against top six teams. Phoenix is 3-0 now against home court teams, and 4-0 against top six teams. Now, they've gotten Dallas twice. The Warriors have gotten Brooklyn. Both teams have gotten Brooklyn recently, and Locked On Nets today has got a great episode about just kind of what's wrong with the Nets. So that's where, like, that's my thoughts, kind of just very, very, very big picture. And I don't know if I put a summary on it, but I will in a moment when we come back, because I think there's actually something else that's taken place, because 20 games into the season is the perfect indicator. And that indicator actually does tell us where we are. I think allows us to take a deep breath and then allows us to look forward. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, as well as in Logan. The Chevy truck lineup and the SUV lineup is absolutely amazing. If you're looking for the end of the year to get that big car, either for work or pleasure, Murdoch Chevy's the place for you. The Murdochs have committed to not increase over MSRP during this time of car shortage, as many other places are. And right now, with the purchase of any new or used 2020 or through 2022 Chevrolet, you get a free season pass at Solitude, and then we ski together. Silverado truck, $1,500 off the 2022, as well as the Colorado truck, amazing. The Tahoe and the Suburban are legendary Chevy cars, plus the Equinox. The other SUV lineup is, of course, the Blazers, the Equinox, the Traverse, and the Trax. It's all over at our good friends at Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross and in Logan. Feel free, if you're heading over to either of those, I can set you up with a meeting before you head over there to take that first step. I've always felt like when I was looking for cars, there's that kind of uneasy moment of like, who am I going to get here? Who is going to come up? Well, I can take care of that for you before it happens. Today's show is also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks has the best NBA daily fantasy prop game on the market. And Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes in each game. So you can really show your expertise. And with the promo code NBA, you receive a promo code. You'll receive 100% instant deposit up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players on over under on the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on an entry. It's just you versus projected numbers. Allows mixed sports entry as well. So if on a Monday night you want to play NBA and NFL together, you can do that. Entries take less than 60 seconds. Prize Picks is safe and otherwise offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA. Go to the App Store. Download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Should be a great deal of fun. Jump aboard it. Prize Picks, the best DFS prop game on the market. Here's what's actually happened in the NBA. And thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. Locked On Bets, by the way, is a pretty good second listen today. Here's what's actually happened. And I do think that there's some level of this. There's been a separation in the West. And what I think we know about us is that we're top three. When you're number one in offense and number five in defense, and it doesn't really matter who you're playing, then I think you know we're top three. And there's a real separation here. The Warriors, Phoenix, and the Jazz have separated themselves from everyone else. And frankly, my preseason numbers had Phoenix and Utah separating themselves. Had Dallas kind of as the next team, and I missed on Golden State. I also had Golden State playing Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody, and they're not playing. So really what they've done, they're not playing their young guys, and so then they're a very different team. So what I really missed on the Warriors was who's playing, and Steph's, you know, the best player in the game right now. So what you have here is, first thing you have is that the third seed is about projecting right now somewhere between 7 to 8 games better than the fourth seed. So in 538's ranking, the Warriors are still the third seed because they didn't love them in the preseason. They're 53 wins, and the fourth seed is 47 wins. At team rankings, the third seed is us at 56, which feels a little high, but the fourth seed's at 45, an 11-game gap. At Basketball Reference, the third seed is Utah at 54 and the fourth seed's at 46. So there's about an 8-game gap. So barring something really crazy happening, it's pretty clear we're top three in the West. And what we have now is 60 games to figure out how to get better. And if we kind of keep that in mind, that the whole thing we're doing here is trying to be ready, you know, at game 70, game 65, game 75, to be able to make the playoff run and be a better team. I think that's what we should be thinking about. And what's nice is I don't think there's going to be anything catastrophic that happens to us in this process. We're 13-7. We're the first best offensive. We're the fifth best defense. Dallas is next. The Clippers are next. By the way, the points game predictions is like stunningly on this year. And it's not that surprising to me. If you look at the 20 games into NBA season, this is where the records become predictive, where you can kind of tell what's going to happen next, and it's pretty real. And frankly, if you look at the Western Conference standings, Warriors, Phoenix, Utah, Dallas, Clippers, and Blazers, I would not be surprised at all if those aren't the six teams that make the playoffs, with the four teams being the play-in, being the Lakers, Wolves, Grizzlies, and Nuggets. The Nuggets are great, but they're just so injured. And I wonder if, you know, if you're floating around 500, does it alter your timetable on bringing back Jamal Murray? But Sacramento, the Thunder, the Spurs, the Pelicans, and the Rockets, I don't think have it. Some trades will be made. Sacramento's got to unload at some point. They have to do something. They can't sit there anymore. They've got some interesting pieces, and those could alter the way the West looks in this process. I really would watch Sacramento closely in that regard. I don't know if New Orleans has those same pieces that they're willing to move. They've moved most of them. But that's where I look at the West and say, okay, this is pretty close. And so what I do think we are right now is we kind of know we're a top three team in the West. We're not playing great. Frankly, our best player offensively and defensively, Rudy, is not Steph Curry, is not Kevin Durant, is not that Giannis, right? Those pieces, that domination. And we have really two of them that combine into one in Donovan and Rudy, and their consistency has not been at the level of those other guys, and therefore the team has not always been at that consistency, right? And then we've also, you know, and I think we rely a little bit more on our supporting cast, and there's been some ups and downs in our supporting cast this year as well. It hasn't looked great. I don't think we're overstating that when we say that. The other thing I think that's really important, and here it's a quote. Jack actually has a question here. I'm going to build off this. The concern is that on every occasion Rudy is pulled out to the basket, the team can't rebound, can't defend. This is not a script for playoff success. So I think you're exactly right, Jack. And it's what we saw from the Clippers. Here's what's very, very clear to me about the Jazz this year. And I'm not actually sure why this isn't happening to Phoenix. So that's a caveat on this. What's very, very clear to me about the Jazz right now is that everyone is well prepared playing the Jazz. In other words, wildly clear to me that in the offseason, the Jazz were studied. I talked to Willie Green about this the other day. Like, what do you do in the offseason? You look at who won, how they played, you watch their film, you look to see what it is that is making them great and see if you can learn from it. And so what we're seeing is teams are well prepared. They can't always emulate what we're doing, but they're well prepared for us. Very, very well prepared. And they have a script on what they have to do. Rudy's pick and roll defense. You've heard me say this before. And unfortunately, I'd like you to keep listening every day and make us your first listen every day. But there's a chance I'm going to repeat myself an awful lot between now and April. The fact is that Rudy's pick and roll defense is absolutely so dominating that you have no choice but to try to move Rudy. And we have no choice but to try every defensive system we can to bring Rudy back to the middle. So New Orleans the other night ran an entire system where they ran Ingram off a pick. We actually let Rudy go guard Ingram. And Ingram never took a shot in two games at the rim because of Rudy. And then they'd lob into Valanciunas in the post and Rudy would retreat back. And then he would play both. Like, there's just nobody else in the world that can do that. You see all the time with teams spreading us out now and trying to take Rudy out to the corner. Joe Ingles said it in the media session the other day. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's got Rudy in the strong side corner. We never used to have to deal with that. And the rule in strong side corners, you never leave strong side corner. It's the ball side corner because you give up a three. And so teams are doing this. Teams are just incredibly prepared. It's, I think, part of the reason why Joe has struggled. I think it's part of the reason why Jordan has struggled. I think it's part of the reason why Donovan has struggled at times. Teams are wildly well prepared for us. They've studied us. They're prepared for it. They came out and the season started ready to watch, for the transition game. Now the Jazz have gotten the transition game back going again. They're back to being the number one effective field goal percentage team in the first 6 seconds of the shot clock. They're the number one team in per point per possession, number one team per points per chance. They're back to taking 48% of their shots as threes in the first 6 seconds of the shot clock, which is like a revolutionary concept. The league average is at 37%. They're back to taking 15% of those as corner threes. The next step is, I think they got to start driving on these a little bit because teams are running to the corner now. They're taking 13 shots a game in the first 6 seconds. They're back at doing that. It's why they're the number one offense in the league. So they're back doing these things a little bit, but teams are really, really well prepared. Rudy's contesting like a shot and a half less than he did a year ago. He's impacting shots at the rim one less time. He still is great, but it's one less, and all those little numbers kind of diminish who we are. So yes, the thing I think you're bringing up is that teams are really well prepared for us. Here's the positive. It's making the regular season harder. It's making us look a little less good. It's making things less easy. It's giving us training and preparation for what we'll have to do in the playoffs every single night. And I think that's the really, really important aspect of things. All right. Rapid fire third segment coming. I want to quickly review what we saw. Just New Orleans. Get you ready for Portland. Should be a really interesting game. And then we always do Monday trends. We actually now have kind of the second, we have 20 games. So the trends actually have both the last 2 weeks as well as the last 10 games. They'll be very similar, but it is worth taking a little bit of a look at on both regards. So that's all continuing and coming up here. So we'll rapid fire this. Thanks for staying with me. It is Locked On Jazz. Thanks for making us your first listen of every single day. It's kind of a great honor and very, very appreciative of it. Do you have one piece for this and one piece for that? And no, not hair piece, like remote control, this and that. Well, it all sounds familiar, that one device activated from this and another there, and you've got this password for that and these for these. Time to end all that with DirecTV Stream. Brings live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes. No more need to buy another device ever again. All the best parts and no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Contents vary per package. It is Cyber Monday and Built has got stuff for you. Here it is. Built.com, 20% off. Get 20% off everything delicious and healthy across the site. Use the promo code LOCKED20 today. You get 20 and even bigger discounts on Boost, Broth, and Swag. A brand new Built flavor. Caramel Almond Delight. Honestly, the almond thing, haven't tried it. But it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein. And for a limited time, white chocolate cheesecake, the yummy protein treat filled with marshmallow center covered in white chocolate, 140 calories, 17 grams. I'm a huge Built Bar fan. You know that. Chocolate brownie is my favorite. I have to tell you, they sent me a pack of the Ruby Chocolate Puffs. It wasn't something I was almost hesitant. They're really good. They're really good. It's crazy. It's like a marshmallow gooiness that somehow is a protein bar. They have coconut brownie chunk right now, and you've got to get it. Coconut brownie chunk, 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, 7 grams of sugar is the best. Promise me you'll get that. They also have extra discount on a bunch of other items and a full load. It's all at built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED20. All right, so we play the Blazers tonight. What's the betonline.ag line tonight? Let me look. We've been big favorites in a lot of games. I don't think we're covering very often. Someone out there probably knows. We are a 7.5-point favorite. They still love us. Clippers are 7.5-point favorite over New Orleans. Dallas is a 6-point favorite tonight over Cleveland. Denver, Miami's a 7.5-point favorite over Denver. And Philly is a 14-point favorite. It's all at betonline.ag. Promo code LOCKEDON will get you a 50% welcome bonus. All right. So over the weekend, I mean, we didn't play great against New Orleans. We didn't play particularly focused. We didn't play every possession. It was, I think that's clear. Body language at times was terrible. Argued with officials again a ton, like all the same pitfalls. And then we came out the next night and okay, let's enjoy ourselves. Let's have fun. Mike Conley said that after the game. And they played with a pizzazz and they made a ton of shots and New Orleans missed everything. And they just had a lot more kind of zest to what they were doing. This is, they're going to have to just find this. Like, there's nothing easy about this season for them. And I think we're going to feel that all year. So one is that it's a long season when you've already, when you're going to be, you know what you're going to be judged on is how you play in the playoffs. Two is, as we just talked about, everyone's well prepared. Three is, as we've talked about, there's not enough possessions to go along. So games are going to feel uncomfortable to guys. And I think that's an issue. And I think we're going to just kind of see this throughout the year. And they're going to have to get mentally tough enough to fight through that. And that, to me, is a little bit against New Orleans, what they did. And now the question is, can they continue that? And New Orleans is not good, and New Orleans was 20 straight threes. So then you get the same reaction that you're kind of getting me from every time I kind of go to yin, I go to yang. Tonight, Portland last year was the second best offensive team in the 29th ranked defense, so they fired their coach. So now they're the third ranked offensive team in the 28th ranked defensive team, so they're probably a roster issue. And so this is a huge challenge for us because their offense is great, and we have not played very many good offenses yet. And this is going to be interesting because Nurkic actually matches to what we need to do. But we had a pretty good year against Dame last year. Dame only shot 42% and 25% from three, but he's heated back up. He's averaging 27 points a game over his last five. He's kind of back to being Dame. And it'll be interesting to see how we deal with this defensively. They are a decent offensive rebounding team, which has been a little bit of our trouble. They do not play in transition very often, which has been another one of our troubles. But if you look at the top 10 offenses in the NBA, Golden State, Portland, Atlanta, we've played twice. Philadelphia, we've played when they were missing guys. Phoenix, Charlotte, Miami, we've played twice. Brooklyn, we haven't played. And Memphis is 10th offensively. We've played them. So we've played a smattering of good offensive teams. And now we've got to really prove and get our defense back online tonight. They shoot a lot of threes, but nothing outrageous. Their offense is just above average in every category, and their defense is below average in every category. They're allowing above average amount of threes, and teams are nailing them. And what they do is they're trying to take away the roller on the pick and roll. I was listening to Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers, last night. They're going to try to take away the roller, so they're tagging the roller with somebody off a corner. And so if we can make that skip pass or make those passes to the wing, we should be getting threes. Now, if Covington's the guy out there, he's longing to cover both spots a little bit. And so we'll have to see whether or not the Jazz can react to that and get that done. And that's what's going to be on the defensive end, obviously. It's dealing with Dame. Rudy playing up higher, and then when Rudy gets pulled out a little bit because he's dealing with Dame, can we rebound? They're the 10th ranked offensive rebounding team in the league. They're a great defensive rebounding team. A lot of our offense is predicated on being the fourth best offensive rebounding team in the league. So any offensive rebound tonight is a really, really big gamble for us. Here's what Jeremy has to say. He says, regarding possessions, do the Jazz keep pushing through and figure it out, or possibly trade one of Ingles, Bogey, or Clarkson? I don't know if trading one of those players does any good in the possession game, because you're going to bring somebody back who's using possessions. I mean, honestly, the risky move and the way to do it is you trade two of them for one. So you send out like 25 possessions, you bring back 18 that are better. Now, I don't know if that's available, but that would be the way you're doing that. And so I think that's what you're looking at. Jack T says the Suns are different because they're more athletic and bigger apart from Ayton than the Jazz. They are. Devin's 4 inches taller. Mikal Bridges is a better defensive player and longer than probably anyone we have, though Royce is pretty darn good. It was interesting to watch, by the way, and I don't mean this at all critically on Royce, but he's not a natural shooter. When we suddenly had four real shooters on the floor, which is the lineup that kind of when we acquired Bogdanović, we talked about the whole time. We had Conley and Bogdanović and Donovan and Joe Ingles all on the floor together at the same time with Rudy. We saw that a little bit the other night because of the fact that Royce was out. Boy, that is a offensively powerful lineup. Like, it's worth probably readdressing whether we should be throwing that out there a little bit more. All right, let's go to the last 2 weeks. The number one point differential team in the league is the Milwaukee Bucks. Hello, the champs are back. They are plus 20 and 7-0. They have the number one offense and number six defense. Number two is Utah. So for all this, we should be 7-0. We played seven below 500 teams. We should be 7-0 without the referees. And we have the number 2 point differential in the period of time. Kind of, it sums up the whole show. Warriors are 3. Atlanta is 4. Minnesota is 5. I think they're real. Phoenix is 6th. And Miami is 7th. The teams that are awful are no surprise. But Denver is the worst of them. They've lost 6 straight with a 17 point negative differential. Then Orlando, Detroit, Houston, New Orleans, San Antonio, and Sacramento. Toronto might not be good. They're 2-5 in the last seven. Certainly some injuries, but they also just might not be good. Best offense over the last 2 weeks is Atlanta has clicked in, followed by Utah, Portland. So two of the hottest offenses in the NBA. Golden State, Memphis is fifth. Milwaukee is six, Charlotte is seven, and Phoenix is eight. Teams that can't score, Detroit, New Orleans, Clippers, interesting. So the Clippers really trying to survive without Kawhi, and it's catching up to them. Oklahoma's, and at some point, Paul George usually has a bad stretch, and that'll really be hard for them. Oklahoma City, Orlando, San Antonio, and Houston. Best defense in the league over the last 2 weeks is Milwaukee, dominantly. 4 points better than anybody else, then Golden State, then the Clippers, then us. Amazing, right? This is how it is. Like, we all know we're not quite right. We're watching it. We can see it. We can feel it during these games. We should be ahead. We shouldn't be struggling against Oklahoma City. We shouldn't be worrying about, right? All those things, except for the fact that then you look at our ratings and they're incredible. Minnesota's fifth best defensively. That's the big thing that's happened in Minnesota. Somehow a team with Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell is defending. Miami is sixth and Atlanta is seventh defensively. As Nate's got that team. Team's not defending. Denver, Toronto, that's where Toronto might not be good. Memphis, Portland, not defending. 27th in the league. Orlando, Sacramento, and Houston. All right, that was a smorgasbord of items there. I was going to look at the last 2 weeks, but I actually think they're probably about the exact same. I can do it really quickly. But I do think that they're pretty much, or last 10 games, not the last 2 weeks. I do think they're pretty much the exact same. But I will give you what I said I will. It'll be a little longer than 2 weeks. The number one team over the last 2 weeks is the Warriors, followed by the Suns, then the Hawks, Jazz, Bucks, Timberwolves, with the Nets at 7-3 after that. Number one, and the worst teams are going to be Orlando, Houston, Detroit, Sacramento, 76ers without Embiid, Grizzlies, and then the Lakers at 24th. Oh, that was totally worth it, just so I could say that. Atlanta is the number one offense over the last 2 weeks, followed by Utah, Golden State, and the Blazers. Phoenix and Milwaukee, the best defenses in the league are Phoenix, Golden State, Clippers, Minnesota again, Milwaukee, and Cleveland over the last 10 games, followed by Indiana. The teams that are not defending, Memphis, Portland, Toronto, Sacramento, Denver, Orlando, and Philadelphia. So we got to make our shots tonight against a team that is not naturally inclined defensively. Thanks very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for stopping by. And I really think we've probably made it because we have a bunch of losers that try to troll us every morning. I have nothing better to do on the first day back at work. Oh, wait, they don't have jobs. See ya. Have a good one.